Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 70 of Beyond Diet Podcast. I'm Dan Rodriguez, and joining me is Dr. Roxanne Edrington. How are you, Dr. E?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you.
That is so great. And I'm also very happy that Skype is working this time. So you sound great. And we're going to get this on a roll. In this episode, we're going to talk about detox diets. What are they? Do they work? Are they necessary? We're going to talk about that. And we're also we're going to answer a listener's question. So let me ask you, Dr. E, detox diets. I mean, you have like the fat flush, the lemon detox, the master cleanse, the 21 pounds in 21 days. There's the liver detox. There's so many detox diets, all with the premise of, you know, wanting to lose weight and getting a clean start. What's your thought about that?
You know, actually, what I am glad on, you know, this fad of detox diets is it is true. I do think it's very important to detox. Do I think everyone should detox? Absolutely. But I always caution my patients and people that sometimes people aren't healthy enough to detox. In this world, there are so many toxins. I mean, the EPA released something and it was tons of toxins that they dump in the air every year. So along with the air being full of toxins from industries, from automobiles, from, you know, especially here in Houston, Texas, I'm around a bunch of refineries, but we are bombarded by toxins and therefore we breathe them in. Now, healthy individuals, if their liver is very healthy and young and their kidneys, that's really not a big deal because a different toxins that we ingest, it could be airborne, but it also can be additives and chemicals from food and from water. It also, toxins can accumulate, you know, just through our own metabolic processes inside of our body. So it is essential to eliminate these toxins because if they build up in our system, we will get sick. It will slow down our metabolism. It can cause all kinds of organs to not function properly, which, you know, can make us sick. It can, you know, decrease our effective immune system. There's just so many things when you're toxic, it can make you sick. So I like that these fad detox diets are coming out because it, to me, it's saying that people are now getting aware that we need a detox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's very important. And yes, there's all these different kinds of toxins, but truly, the toxins that we have, whether we're making toxins in our bottom and our body, or whether we are inhaling them from the air, the water-soluble toxins, our liver will break it down and dump it into basically our kidneys to expel it in the urine. And then the toxins that are not water-soluble will actually go to the liver, and there's different phases. There's phase one and phase two of a detoxification process where the toxin gets transformed into something that can get eliminated. And usually what the eliminated byproduct will dump into the common bile duct, into the intestines, and therefore we release it in our feces. Now, a big part of this detoxification that's important is if your colon is not working correctly, meaning there's a bunch of gaps, there's inflammation, which allows, you know, all this stuff is coming through your colon to eliminate toxins. I mean, again, it's too much information, but, you know, the feces and everything else that our body is trying to get rid of. If our colon is not in good health, all the mucosal cells that should be close together in little gap junctions actually get broken up in inflammation where there's more distance between the mucosal cells. So actually, the byproducts that's coming through the colon can seep back into our system. So, I mean, again, this is a gross way to think about it, but it's almost like eating your poop. It's getting back into your system, which means now your liver and your kidney is going to have to re-detoxify these recycling toxins. So detoxification is huge. I think a lot of people who start talking about headaches and stomach aches and nausea and, you know, they just have you know, they could classify it as, you know, chronic fatigue or, you know, some of those things. But I really, the first thing I look at is detoxification. Like, okay, has this person been around toxins here in, like I said, in Houston, there's a lot of refineries. Do they work in a chemical plant? Do they work in a nail place? Do they work someplace where they're constantly bombarded with toxins? Right. If the answer is no, then the next thing I ask them, well, how's your colon? I mean, how's your digestion? Do you have bloating? Does your stomach hurt? Do you know? And I go through a series of digestive questions because you can make yourself toxic if your colon doesn't work. So these detox diets and plans are really important, but I think a healthcare professional should kind of guide someone through it, because if someone just does a detox and they're dumping all these toxins into their small intestines and to their colon, and yet their colon has this inflammation, these open areas that basically these toxins can seep across the mucosal membrane back into the system. I mean, that's not really healthy, because now you've dumped a whole bunch of toxins and your body's trying to get rid of it, but now you're seeping them through your colon back into your system. So there's a lot to detoxing. It's not as easy as they say, but I think it's important. And if you have a healthy colon, if you don't have, you know, gas or diarrhea or stomach isn't bothering you, don't feel like you're bloated, the typical like master cleanse where, I mean, you don't have to go on these fad, don't eat anything, you know, for 3 days. Some people think that those are fantastic. What I have seen is that in order for our liver to detox, it needs amino acids. You know, water alone, if you don't have these amino acids to help your liver detox, it's not going to work very effectively. And actually, it can actually hurt your body more, because a part of a detoxification is you take a product and you transform it into a byproduct that's even more mean and more ugly to the body. But then when it gets, when sulfate or glucuronidase or some of these other amino acids bind to it, it calms it down and our body can get rid of it. So sometimes when people try detox programs, mm-hmm. they can be dumping a whole bunch of poisons in their body and make them really sick.
So how would you know, I mean, you talked about the colon, you talked about if you're having problems in that regard, but a lot of the detox diets that are out there, they're marketed or they're sold as, you know, detoxing fat, like the fat is what you're trying to detox. So this is more like a weight loss thing.
Right. And the premise of that is, because I see this in my practice a lot, sometimes people come in and they're eating right and they're exercising right and they're doing everything right, but they're not losing weight. And that's when I start kind of asking questions about where they work or you know, how's their colon functioning? Because if toxins are accumulating in your system for whatever reason, and if your liver and your kidney cannot break down these toxins very effectively, your body will make excess fat to store the excess toxins until your liver and your kidneys can catch up. So basically, as you get toxic, and if your liver and your kidneys aren't working as effectively as your body needs them to be, your body will store, thank goodness, your body will put these excess toxins into fat. And if you don't have enough fat, your body will make more fat. So generally, that people, when they have a lot of toxins accumulating in their system, they can put on fat because it's their body's way to protect them. It's better to have toxins in stored fat than, you know, circulating in your system.
Is this a widespread problem? Is this more common than not?
Yes, it's very common, because in this world right now, almost anywhere that you live, it's very toxic. And not only that, our food supply, our water source has so much stuff in it as well. So I would suggest people, you know, do some kind of detoxification every 6 months, at least once a year, but if not every 6 months.
Okay, so kind of walk us through. I know that you recommend getting guidance from a doctor, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what are some of the guidelines?
I think what I would do first, if I was just an individual and, you know, I decided I'm going to go through all these steps, I think I first would look at a colon cleanse. You know, health food places or even, you know, you might know someone or even look online of some kind of colon cleanse. And a lot of times it is just herbs. It's like pills that you can mm-hmm. take to try to get rid of parasites, try to get rid of candida. Also, there's a food modification. When people do colon cleanses, on the little instructions, it says, you know, cut out, you know, dairy, mm-hmm. gluten, you know, sugars, alcohol. It gives you a list of things to cut out for, you know, it's 7 to 10 days. And then after you do a colon cleanse, it's important to add probiotics, you know, the good bacteria mm-hmm. back into your system. And after your colon seems to be, you've done that, the colon cleanse, then it's a good idea to support your liver and your kidneys. And really, you can do that with different herbs. There's silymarin, which is the active ingredients of milk thistle. There's burdock. There's dandelion root. There's N-acetylcysteine. I mean, there's several different, and alpha-lipoic acid, there's several different vitamins, supplements that you can take, you know, to support your liver and your kidneys. So, and if you, it will say detox. I mean, it will, mm-hmm. it will give you a detox. And generally the 10-day detox programs are good. I do not suggest someone do a 6-week detox program. I think that's a little bit aggressive. Yeah. A lot of times, some month, I have seen different detox programs. It says a 28, you know, day detox program. And generally, if you're not detoxing yet the whole 28 days, they slowly decrease certain foods out of your diet, and they have you take a shake that has all kinds of nutrients in it to help your liver and your kidneys function correctly. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes on, you do maybe one or two shakes a day, but by day 14, you might be doing only this little shakes for about 2 or 3 days. It's just basically doing the shakes, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. And then you start slowly adding food back in, and it takes a total of 28 days. So there's several different programs out there, and, you know, you can read on them, and, you know, you will see the ones that actually have worked, because they're going to have a lot of write-ups on them. But, you know, it's not your healthcare professional that's in your area. I mean, generally, sometimes you go to their website, you can find detox stuff, or just ask them, you know, is there a good detox program? And, you know, it's, but I do think for people who don't feel very well and they're on a lot of medication, or maybe 3 different medications, I do think it's important, and it's not expensive, just to go get some advice from a healthcare professional. Sometimes you can call their office and talk to, you know, the person in charge of that, and just say, hey, I want to do this, you know, and it's get the okay from the doctor, because remember, you're also going to be, you know, detoxing medications, and which is probably good in the sense, because sometimes people even store medications that have accumulated in their system and in their fat cells. But, you know, for healthy, you know, individuals that do a lot of exercise, because exercise and sweating are phenomenal. I in fact, today I was in the sauna for like 25 minutes. And when I got out of there, it looked like I just got out of the shower.
Right.
Your skin is a phenomenal detox organ. There's a lot of people that can't sit in a sauna for 20 minutes. They can sit in a sauna for about 5 minutes. And I think the reason why is their body is, you know, circulating a lot more, and toxins are actually coming out, and their body can't, you know, they feel claustrophobic, or like they can't breathe, because I think it's a lot on their system. So, you know, the degree in which someone can detox depends on the degree of health. I think everyone should detox. I don't care if someone's on oxygen. I think every single person should do a mild form or do some kind of detox every 6 months based on their health status.
Well, let me ask you this. I know a couple of people personally that have fasted. They have gone without eating for 10 days. 10 right. days, no food. What I mean, that's really drastic. And I guess the premise of it is to detox, obviously.
Right.
But I think there's an underlying factor there that if I fast for 10 days, if I don't eat for 10 days, I'm going to lose all this fat. What's,
right.
What's,
well, yeah. Well, basically what is happening with that is that when they don't eat food, it requires a lot of energy to digest. And so if you're not taking in food, your body has a lot of energy that it can use on other stuff like detoxification. So what does happen is if you're not taking in any toxins because you're not eating stuff with, you know, additives, and, you know, if you're resting more, if you're, you know, not stressed or whatever the reasons, your body is now going to have a lot more energy to take care of different processes, meaning you're going to be able to detox. Now, do you really lose fat? I think you might lose some, but what you're really losing is water.
Right.
you know, most of it's water. And I don't think that's the most effective way to detox, because again, in order to take these toxins and transfer them into something that can be expelled from your body, you need amino acids. If you're not ingesting protein or amino acids, it doesn't have to necessarily be protein from meat, it can be plant origin or whatever, but if you're not taking in amino acids, well then your body is not going to be able to get rid of those toxins. So you might feel good for 10 days because you're not eating foods that possibly you're kind of sensitive to, but you know, generally you're not getting the most effective detox as if you did use some kind of program that does have, you know, amino acids or, you know, vegetables or some fruits or, you know, some, I don't want to say grains because people are going to get the wrong idea that grains are good, but you know, there are detox foods or foods that are safe for detoxing. Instead of just starving yourself, it basically slows down your detoxification process.
Doesn't it slow down your metabolism?
Oh, absolutely. It just slows down everything. I mean, the only thing it does is because you're not digesting food, it gives your body more energy to take care of some processes that it hasn't had a chance to take care of because it was, you know, it didn't have enough energy. But yes, it will slow down your 10 days is a long time to do just lemon water or just do water.
Right. Yeah.
I agree. That's not good for you. I mean, that's, and especially for some people that can make them very, very sick, especially people with low blood sugar or have, you know, blood sugar issues.
Right.
That can really make them feel awful.
Well, one of these two people that I know that did this, they actually, both of them, they worked, you know, throughout the whole time. So they went about their day like normal. And one of them even worked out, you know, during this fasting.
Wow.
And that's just crazy. You're asking too much of your body.
Yeah, that is hard on your body. Even for a healthy individual, that's hard on your body.
So, yeah. Okay. Any other tips that you have in regards to detoxifying? I mean, you said every 6 months, obviously. You know, have a doctor supervise your detox, or at least get some guidance from a doctor.
Right. Or someone that is, you know, sometimes these even health foods, and I don't want to say all health food places, but a lot of times they have someone on standby that has seen individuals come in and buy a certain detox program and have had results with it. And so you don't necessarily have to call your doctor, but someone that is in the health related field that understands detoxification and deals with it. There's so many people around, it wouldn't be that difficult.
Okay. Is there anything else in regards to detox that you want to share before?
Well, I just think that people who do not detox or people who take detoxification lightly, they do need to understand that with these toxins accumulating, I mean, you're really, your organs can, you know, slow down on their efficiency of what processes they're supposed to do. You basically get poisoned. And if you look in a journal, a clinical journal, and look up being poisoned, the signs and symptoms an individual has when they're poisoned is fatigue, headaches, GI distress, depressed, inability to concentrate, forgetful. And the majority of people, when they come in my office, these are some of the things that they're experiencing. And so whether you're poisoned by taking arsenic or, you know, drinking gasoline or whatever, whether you're poisoned that way or you get poisoned because your detoxification system isn't working very effectively and you have accumulation of your own toxins in your system,
mm-hmm.
poisoned is poisoned and it's, the results are going to be the same. So, you know, I think it's in people's best interest to have total health, to kind of look into detoxification and they can do a mild one, but just look in ways, whether it's sitting in a sauna, you know, just they can take baby steps, and as they learn more about it, they can get a little bit more aggressive, but just there, it's important because a lot of people go to work and they're in a cold, you know, cold offices, and they don't sweat a lot, and they're not exercising a lot. So basically their system's coming very sluggish and they're accumulating toxins. So, you know, whether you're poisoned through bad chemicals or whether you're poisoning yourself, truly it's going to have an effect on your health and your energy and your well-being. So I would tell everyone, if you do feel fatigued, if you do, you know, have stomach or feel depressed or, you know, can't sleep at night, you just feel restless and you don't understand it, you probably should look in or even do a detoxification survey. I think on my website, I have a detoxification survey, and many people probably do, but take that survey and just fill it out, and it will basically tell you, yes, you probably, you know, could use a detoxification program, or, you know, maybe not. But I think that especially in this day with all these, you know, industrialization that is going on and all these automobiles and everything, it is really imperative, more so for our children, that they get detoxed as well, because they're getting a double whammy. We probably for some of our life had it a little bit better, but now they're really, really overexposed to toxins.
No, I totally agree. I read this article a while back, and I don't remember from where, but it said by the time you get up in the morning and you're off to work, you've been exposed to literally thousands of chemicals. There's chemicals literally in things that we touch, like skin products, in household cleaners. There's chemicals that emit from carpets that we aren't even aware of. So all those things, they can take a toll on your body. And although your body does a pretty good job of getting rid of a lot of the stuff, there could be some excess left over. Yep. And that just keeps accumulating little by little.
Yep, that's exactly right. And it's benign. I mean, you don't even know what's happening. Just all of a sudden, you just notice, man, I'm kind of tired. You have the signs, but you just don't. There's so many possibilities. You know, am I anemic? Am I low on iron? Is it my food? I mean, there's so many things that can mask it. So I do think it's important for everyone to cleanse their system.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll answer a couple of questions. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, we are back, and we've got a question about testosterone boosters. And this is from Glenn Babici, and he is from Australia. And he was wondering what we think of a testosterone booster like Zues, Zues, and the effects, particularly for a 49-year-old trying to lose weight and tone up. There's a bunch of them out there, these natural testosterone boosters, supplements. What's your take on it?
Well, first of all, if someone has done some kind of testing, and they do have low testosterone. You want to get to the root why the testosterone's low, because it could be stress related. It could be, I mean, there's so many reasons for it. And to just take a booster just to raise your testosterone, and you don't know why your testosterone is depleted, that is, I don't think that is good, because, you know, testosterone, if you have insulin resistance, which we talked about, you know, last time, you know, if you give someone testosterone, it can be converted to estrogen in males. So you think you're doing the right thing. You're, you know, getting these testosterone boosters, you're increasing your testosterone, but because of an enzyme that gets switched on when you have, you know, blood sugar issues or insulin resistant, it actually turns the testosterone to estrogen.
Interesting.
And yeah, so you really don't want to mess with biochemical pathways, especially your hormones, unless you understand them, because, you know, women can take progesterone and it can get converted to testosterone. So just because you're taking something does not mean that by the time it gets in your system, it's going to carry through that pathway. So it's real important to see why is the hormone deficient, and, you know, what is going on in my system, and how can I increase it? First, naturally, exercise increases testosterone, but, you know, you need to get to the bottom of what is this deficiency.
So, I mean, obviously, they have to, instead of trying to self-prescribe with a supplement, whether it's natural or not, you really need to see a doctor.
Right. Well, you need to at least have labs done, especially a 49-year-old male, have labs done on his hormones and just take a look at what it is. And if he can prove that his testosterone's low, and, you know, if he doesn't have a lot of stress, if he's just low because of maybe lifestyle or something, then, you know, first you would want to focus on, well, what can I do in my lifestyle to, and it might be sleep. You know, a lot of men do not go to sleep until 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And you need sleep, also to have balanced hormones. So find out what first lifestyle change could be causing the deficiency. And then after that, if it truly is deficient, there are all kinds of these, you know, testosterone boosters. And if everything else in the lab is okay, you can implement some of these things. And then, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months, do another test and see where it or what it is affecting. Because you might see that, you know, your testosterone hasn't budged at all, but then you might see some of your other hormones that you don't want to increase are increasing. And then you know, okay, that's probably not in my best interest. So a lot of people start that DHEA, start all kinds of stuff, shot in the dark, and found out, you know, just those things that they, instead of losing weight like they were promised, they were gaining weight because it was shifting hormones into estrogen, which is, you know, can increase weight on some people instead of the testosterone. And, and so it is now we know more about hormones, that what you see is not always what you get. And you can play with it a little bit, but if you do not see that there's changes, you really do need to probably get help to guide you through it.
Oh, definitely. And I think something like hormones in your body, you're really literally playing with the chemistry makeup of your body. And, you know, it can be a dangerous thing in the sense that, like you just described, if, you know, you're taking testosterone, but if your body, if that's not the real problem, that excess testosterone turns into estrogen, and then you're kind of going by it blindly. So getting the blood work makes absolute sense. So you know what the heck's going on.
Exactly. Yes. That is important.
Okay. Do we have time for just one more?
Sure.
Okay, this one is from Veronica, and she is from Australia as well. And she says, "Hi, my name is Veronica, and I have a few questions before I go on. I would like to say I love your podcast." Let me go on to the rest of the email. Hold on here. Sorry. We do appreciate it, Veronica, but I want to get to your question.
Yeah.
So to go on, let me introduce myself. I am currently 15 years old, and I'm female. My current body weight is 52 kilograms, which is 114 pounds. I am 162 centimeters tall, which I don't know what that is, unfortunately. 2 weeks ago, I was 8 pounds lighter, and about a month ago, I was another 8 pounds lighter. My concern is that I have to put on weight way too fast. I have already had my growth spurt when I was 12 years old. So I don't know why I am suddenly putting on so much weight. All of this time, I haven't grown in height, and all of the fat has gone to my bottom and thighs. I'm really concerned because the weight gain still isn't slowing down. I do not want to end up overweight, but I can't seem to stop cravings for food. Is there anything abnormal about my weight gain? Are there any suggestions you can give for me to lose body fat? And is weight loss safe for my age?
Okay, The answer to that is yes, weight loss is safe for her age. But, she is 15 years old.
Yeah, she's 15.
Yes, so you will, I don't know anything about if she's an athlete or not, but there's a lot of times that people do hard athletics, 12, 13, 14, 15. And 15, you're about a sophomore, junior, and sometimes people cut back on athletics at that age. Mm-hmm. And so, they're not as active, so they tend to put on weight. The other thing is that athletes, if they're in a lot of sports and then they kind of slow down on sports, then all of a sudden, their hormones kick in because, working out really, really hard, a young girl can kind of push back your puberty. So look at gymnasts. I would want to know two things. Is she all of a sudden filling out? Had puberty started with her at 13, 14, or is it, because we even know when she's 15 years old, her hormones are higher now than probably they'll ever be. So some of it might be hormone balance. But if she's craving food, that means she's probably craving carbohydrates and sugar. And I would like to know if her family history has any diabetes. And is she just kind of like what we talked about last week, is she showing signs of insulin resistance?
Right.
But basically, so what she would need to do is eat, every 3 hours, the low glycemic foods. So the same thing that, you and Keith Klein and Michael Florida have talked over and over again on, meal frequency, low glycemic food, don't eat a lot of fats, and exercise.
Protein with every meal.
Right. A balance of protein and a little bit of carb and vegetables. Absolutely. So, if she has exhausted that, then she can, she can send me an email or something like that, and I'll try to get a little bit more information. But definitely we can slow down the weight gain. We just have to figure out what is going on in her life or what is her history so that we can pinpoint pretty much the reason for the weight gain.
Okay. And could it be something hormonal? As far as because her body's going through so much at 15.
Right.
So much is
going. Could be stress. It could be, hormones. It could be hormone imbalance. Sometimes when young girls are stressed because they're perfectionists in a sense, but that's not a bad thing. But, estrogen and progesterone are not, there's a certain ratio that's good. They get out of whack where either progesterone is very low or estrogen is high, or estrogen is normal and progesterone is very low, which causes a whole myriad of, fallout, weight gain and all kinds of stuff. So, the question is, basically the answer is yes, we can slow it down, but the problem is we have to investigate truly what created this. How did this happen and what's going on in the little bit of history that I got is not.
It's not enough.
Exactly.
It's not enough. Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We're going to make this one short and sweet. And we really do appreciate it. Dr. E, for joining us again, and hopefully you'll join us next time. If you have any questions, there's a few ways that you can do it. You can go to the website, Beyond Diet Podcast, and up on top there's an Ask a Question page, and there you can fill out a form and ask your question there. Or you can leave us a voicemail. There's a voicemail at 1-888-292-6679. That's 1-888-292-6679. You can do that. Also, Dr. E, why don't you give out your website and your contact info for everyone?
Okay, my website is www.DrEdrington, and that's spelled DrEdrington.com. So www.DrEdrington.com. My email is drroxanne drroxanne@aol.com, and that's spelled drroxanne@aol.com. And that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Well, great. Also, if you haven't done so, please go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That does help with the rankings. And join us next time. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good day. I hear what they're saying, but I'm still gonna ride.